Just a game of life. It's just a game of life. Ooh, just a game of life, baby.
Welcome to Game of Life. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, people of all walks of life. Thank you for tuning in to the Game of Life. Let's level up! Come on now, let's level up with your boy, Randy Matthews. Look, this episode that you're going to be tuning in is going to have a lot of conversations of superpowers and relationship with my longtime childhood best friend. She is absolutely phenomenal, stunning, captivating, motivating individual, and she is a doctor who lives in Australia now, happily married with her husband, and it's absolutely an incredible story. It just inspires me because she has done two long-term relationships. Hold it. Tune in. You're listening. For the accumulation of 7 years total doing long-distance relationship while she was in the UK doing her studies for medical studies and then doing her residency. So insane that was the accumulation of doing her long distance relationship. Now listen, I gave her the name called Queen Asclepius, which is the god of medicine and healing. And since she's a doctor, what better name to suit her and call her Queen Asclepius? If you guys see ambulances or, you know, the emergency symbol or any sort of, you know, doctor, nurses, any pharmacies, you always see the sign with a staff or a rod with the serpent on it. That is called Asclepius. And the two serpents with a rod is called Caudicius. And I thought it was a fitting name to give her as Queen Asclepius because she has this vibe, this energy that's so healing. You can talk to her and it just seems like you're healed when she listens to your problems or whatnot, or when she gives advice to people. And there are people who are fit to be healers, or meant to be genuine innate healers, doctors to do such of these things. So, or aka the magician healer, aka the elixir token master. Look, her real name, she goes by the name Karinya, her nickname that I call her, she goes by Kiki. And she does talk about a lot of relationships, tips and goals to do when being in a long distance relationship. We have this issue that we go about in our day-to-day lives not understanding how powerful communication is. We think we know how to communicate until another person's involved. We are in our minds and we do not live in other people's mind. So it is still sometimes hard to figure out and discover and distinguish what people are really thinking in that big, beautiful brain of theirs. Look, we don't know everything. We don't have the answer. That's why communication is a big deal. Kiki talks about the process of healing. She really gives out a lot of elixirs. So when I talk about elixirs, I'm talking about as tokens that you guys could take, metaphorically speaking, a thing that you guys could take to apply it in your life and understand how crucial and essential and imperative it is to apply it in your life to be a better individual, to understand where other people are coming from. So in this episode, I hope you guys really enjoy it. Kiki is going to give tons of elixir tips. This first part, we're going to talk about our friendship and how we came about understanding each other and, you know, just bonding with one another. I do talk about me traveling around Europe trip and doing a spontaneous trip and just saying screw it, and I ended up meeting her up, so that was pretty awesome. Part two if you really want to understand about the superpowers and everything in relationship, we go real, real in depth, then you can tune into part two. But honestly, listen to part one. It is the doorway to understanding who she is and who I am. And together we could, you know, swan dive right into part two. Stay in tune. Part two is coming this week. I am releasing episodes every 2 weeks, so that's twice in a month. But I will throw in bonuses, little minute dramatic stories incorporated with the game of life, with little drama scenes. I am trying to play around. It's a trial. But I love the whole concept that I've developed here, where I can do the dualities of the game of life and the game and add characters and just give you guys a fable or a parable here with some moral guidance issued in there. So I'm going to definitely have a lot of fun doing that. So stay tuned and just keep up. You know where to find me. Look at the description, Instagram, Randy Ran Candy. You can also find Kiki. Reach out to her, ask her questions and how she did, what she did in a relationship. She does announce her Instagram ID. So stay tuned and listen to the whole scene. It is 2 hours long, so I did end up cutting it to keeping it part one and part two. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode with me and Kiki, really bonding and getting to push the limits and us sharing our stories. And especially Kiki sharing her amazing stories and superpowers, and join us on the path of self-discovery and who we really are and what we really need to accumulate in order to level up in this podcast and go further in our adventures. So to this, I will leave you. Enjoy the episode. Thank you. I was talking to my friend. I realized this would actually be the first video podcast going up, because I did another one with my friend, but you wanted the number 7 spot. You're lucky number 7. So just in time. All right. So I'm going to do the introduction. Are you ready? Okay. Nobody knows it's you, even though they're seeing you. It's stupid. All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and people of all walks of life. You are tuning in to Game of Life. Wow, I forgot my title. Oh, man. It's time to level up. This is so weird doing video. Anyway, I'm still putting all this. It doesn't matter. Okay, so for those of you who are listening on the podcast right now, I'm actually doing the first time video podcast with our amazing, beautiful guest that I will introduce. She is a wonderful person, absolutely a sublime character. She'll just give you all the giggles the minute you see her. She has a mean, awesome personality. Mean as in she just gets you to laugh right then and there, and you'll love her right off the bat. She is a doctor. She has traveled doing studies. She's traveled around the world. She is an amazing, captivating person. And she has done 2 long distance relationships. I don't know how in the world someone could do that, but she is definitely a perspicacious person, very driven to her task, to her goal. And she perseveres no matter what comes her way. So I want to introduce you guys to Karenya, aka Kiki, that I call her. Kiki, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Hey, everyone.
Yay. Sorry. There's so much to the introduction. And I would like you to introduce yourself thoroughly and, who you are, what you do. Yeah, let the world know.
So like Ryan mentioned, my name is Karenya. I currently live in Australia. I'm a doctor. Currently I work in emergency medicine and I am married.
Congratulations, by the way. What is that? 2 years in?
Yeah, 2.5, 3 years, 4. 4 years.
That's crazy. That's actually so impressive. Holy smokes. And you guys are like best friends. Like, I feel like you guys are just, let me take this. It's like a Leaning Tower of Pisa. Whoops. Yeah, that's amazing. 4 years?
Yeah, 3.5 going on to 4. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Continue. All right. Sorry. You have so much to share.
Yes, and I have a fat cat. Introduce
you
guys to her as well.
Yes, show the cat. Show the cat.
Let me bring her in. She's just chilling next to me.
Oh, I love her cat. Her cat gives me the mean grins to me. So I don't know if we're friends, but I think I'll. Oh, there it is, sucking my soul out right there. Oh, he doesn't want to. Oh, sorry, she, right?
She. Is this Eva?
Oh, my God. He was giving me the death stare. It's like steak eyes coming out of her eyes. Holy.
I don't give a shit about this podcast.
Dang.
Yeah. What else? I'm in my late 20s. I'm trying to figure out what else to say about me. But yeah, I guess we'll.
Right out loud, you're a doctor. I know you were talking about your future endeavors in getting into medicine. If I'm not wrong, yeah. Like that's your passion. Like, and we were talking before. Why? Like, what drives you to getting into the particular studies of medicine?
Oh, so I was telling you about how I wanted to either get into palliative care or pain addiction. So that would be like my subspecialty. And we were just chatting about how those two are some of the most difficult topics to deal with. So like, for example, palliative medicine is essentially end-of-life care, where you specialize in helping people die with dignity or comfort. You support family members, loved ones through that journey of essentially death. And the other thing I was talking about was pain management or pain addiction, which is again another difficult conversation to have. Addiction is always, I think, a difficult thing to deal with in general. And it involves a lot of self-management. So I just thought these two would be more difficult. I guess in family medicine, they're more the difficult subspecialties due to the difficult conversations we have to have. I feel like I'm saying the word difficult a lot.
It involves, because I'm sure you're being very kind with or trying to find euphemisms, a substitute for difficult words, because I know you could go heavy-handed here with those terminologies. You know? But I understand, like like bedside manners, right? You need a lot of that bedside manners. You know anybody that lacks the bedside manners? Just like go straight forward, like, hey, look, you have this. That's it. Do you know anyone?
I diagnose you dead. No, none of my colleagues and friends are terrible that way, but I've heard a few stories. Can't remember any off the top of my head. I've just finished night shifts. So I'm working on like 5% of my brain, just so that everyone is aware.
Actually, fun fact, well, I don't know, it happens to me, but I just read an article. When you're tired, or you know, you think you're delirious or whatnot, you're actually functioning at your basically your max capacity. But that's when your creative side comes out, and you're just really hype. I know I get really high when I'm super tired. I realize that, and I'm like, man, I like this, but it's so bad.
Yeah, I think I've again, like with my colleagues, towards the end, especially after we've done like 3 or 4 night shifts, towards the end, we're just everyone's zombied out, we're all giggling, dark humor comes in, which is terrible. I don't think people should.
You know, I love humor. Like, at the same time, I feel like jokes, humor are very subjective, I've realized. And I'd realize, like, no joke is a bad joke, depending who the audience is.
Yeah.
But in generally speaking, I'm fascinated by dark humor because it's actually hard to execute, and like really, I forgot this guy's name. He's a comedian, Jezelnik. It's you gotta watch. I was showing it to my brother. He does dark humor sometimes, and he's like, I told him, you don't know what dark humor is until you met this guy. I'll send you a link. I think his last name is Jezelnik. Anthony Jezelnik, I think. I'm infamous for butchering names, so I really apologize, Anthony Jezelnik, if you're hearing this. I'm so sorry. No one's hearing this, so that's okay.
No, that's not true.
I'm kidding. But I feel like for nurses and doctors, I think it's a great getaway for humor. And when you guys collect a lot of, or you guys see a lot of dark, morbid stuff happening at the hospital, it's inevitable to throw some dark humor.
Yes. And they're usually bearer of bad news as well. So I guess sometimes it does help to sort of sit
How do you deal with that? Like, how do you go about? Like, how do you deal with that? And then sit here and talk to me with the greatest smile on your face, like you won $1 billion. It's amazing. And I know a lot of I know there are people who do that, just instantly shift. The reason I'm asking this is, like, I know a lot of people going through these difficult times, and like, it's not. Like, doing your job is not for the faint of heart, and you have to have that long-term goal with you have to have the right intention to help people. And I know you have that good heart, you know, I can feel it, I can sense it, and that's your passion. So what's, you know, how do you do that?
How do I break bad news?
Or like, how do you deal with it? You know, like how, like leaving at a hospital and then coming home, because it sticks with you, right?
Me definitely talking about it, and because we all look after the same patients, or let's say we've had a terrible shift, there's always, we either go out, especially after night shifts, we go out for brunch, have a little chat, there's a lot of debriefing involved. And I think at some point you learn, I think with the job, not to bring it home.
Debriefing, you cut it off.
Did I cut off? Did you say?
No, you cut it off at the hospital, metaphorically speaking. Not yes. Somebody else.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, you just leave it at the hospital. And I think you learn to recognize it as you mature in your career. You just learn to recognize that this is part of your job, part of life. And there's nothing you can do about it other than support the people going through it. And yeah, somehow you try and get your head around it and find peace in it, I suppose.
Yeah. I remember we were speaking, and so you're in Australia now, but you moved, so you were doing your residencies, doctor practice in the UK, right? How's that? I remember watching some of your posts sometimes, like, oh, like I gotta do this guy's pee-pee, and you know, this guy's passed out drunk. Or I remember saying, I'm like, oh man, that's just atrocious. That's crazy. And there's some yellow stuff. I don't know. I was just reading it, and I'm like, what the heck, you poor girl. And I know a lot of times, I know there's a majority of females dealing with this rubbish, as the UK people call it. and to me, it's just bonkers, you know. Oh my god, I might as well live in UK. I'm using UK terminologies. Well, technically, yeah, we studied UK, I mean British English, actually, right?
That is true. Yeah, we did. That is actually true. Going back to when we were 4 or 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, how do you guys I remember, you putting up with that. And it's just like, I know you were having a hard time too, because you would express that. Like, how did you deal? Like, how would you deal with that?
Yes, of course, I swear. Find friends who go through the same nonsensical things like you, like doing internships with obviously other interns. As well, you sit there, you chat, you share stories, and somehow you find support through that. Literally, we all live the same life. That's what I've realized as doctors. When you start off, yeah, at the bottom of the chain, you get the dirtiest jobs.
That's beautifully said, because I think we can apply what you just said. I believe we can apply the same concept, the same principle with a lot of people who's going through, especially now, in a way, we're all dealing with the COVID-19, just like everybody else is. And I think people are forgetting to, even though they're so inclined to go on social media, they still feel alone. And I think it's important to concentrate or mitigate it to a specific group, like you were saying. Like you were saying, you were with nurses, people who share the same story. I think people should do the same thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. Same experiences. I think you can relate to things more.
Yeah. So guys, there's three elixirs here. So do you know what elixir is? Or at least in the pot. So in the game of life, I run down the game. You played games, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yes.
Okay, what's your favorite game that you played? Or like a role-playing game or a video game? This is going to be a thing. I'm going to start asking people this. I got it.
I started playing Crash Bandicoot on PS4. And the other thing I play is Just Dance. So it's not very...
So with Crash Bandicoot, do you always have... You have some kind of potion or elixir to fill him up when he gets crashed, right? So if you guys are tuning in, I'm doing the duality check. I'm going to have some sound effects. I'm going to get better at it. So duality is like the game of life. Obviously, we are in this life, and I think it's a game, and we can't take ourselves serious, or we end up deteriorating our mind and losing our equanimity. And what you're saying is so crucial, and it's imperative to human beings, especially in this time, that we got to take this elixir. And metaphorically speaking, is that we got to join these groups that we feel more connected or close by. And I think that's how you survived those.
Find the same weirdos like you and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh man. In a way, COVID is the catalyst to us coming together in a way, you know. I think it's people are coming together more than ever, but a lot of people are going through that mental
fatigue. Now know what to appreciate and not to take simple Sunday brunches for granted anymore.
Yeah, man. So that being said, like, what do you? So you were in UK. You were by yourself. And you were talk about you traveling places and doing your studies, and then.
I was born and brought up in Oman.
Sorry to interrupt you. By the way, this chick right here, this gal has the coolest life ever. So I love the stuff that, like, it blows me away, you know. But continue.
I think it's a definitely grass is greener situation, but yeah, I'll get into that a bit more. But born and brought up in Oman, did my high school. Malaysia first for 2 years to do the pre-clinical part of my uni, and then the clinical part. So medical school is usually divided into, well, the UK system at least is divided into pre-clinical and clinical, and pre-clinical is a lot of lectures and all of that sort of stuff, group work and things, and whereas clinical is more hospital rotations, more exposure to patients, learning things in a hospital environment is basically what clinical is. So I did my pre-clinical years in Malaysia for 2 years, and then I did my clinical in the UK for 3 years, and then continued to live there for another 3 years. And then I moved to Australia after that, and I've been here for almost 2 years now.
That's amazing. How do you, once again, you're a persevering person. Like, it's amazing, because you were traveling to different countries doing your education.
Yes.
And you were away from your parents for quite some time. So it's like,
yes, since I was 18.
How did you feel? And since you were 18, yeah, that's amazing. That's instant maturity right there.
Going from living a sheltered life in Oman to here and survive on your own. Bye. That's literally what I had to
I mean, that's the I was gonna be typical and say that's the game of life, but that's the nature of animals, right? Like, you know, the deer comes out. Well, I mean, the beautiful part is like deer or, you know, a freaking platypus comes out of the mom's womb, boom, it knows where to go to eat, you know?
Yeah, start walking immediately.
Yeah. For us, we have to take, you know, the age of 18. And
yeah.
But no, I think that's very honorable that you even decided to take that undertaking and just travel and take those studies. What tips would you give or have for other people to travel or people who are doing it or about to do it somewhere in the future when, you know, this whole shindig dies down?
When COVID comes away, whenever that is. Tips.
2 years.
Literally the same advice as before, the same tip. Find the same people who are going to the same thing. You like for me in Malaysia, I was friends with a girl from Bangladesh, and
sorry, what now?
A girl from Bangladesh.
Oh, girl from Bangladesh. Okay, I don't know, like a, I thought it was like a special name in Indonesia or something. I was like, whoa.
And another girl from Singapore. So the three of us were international. All three of us had to leave home at age 18. So we sort of became each other's family. And because Malaysia was a new place for us to be, it involved all these little adventures. We got to explore together. We got to learn the culture together. It was lovely. So that would be my, well, main tip. Find your group of people. That will become your second family, essentially.
Reoccurring theme, you know, show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. I think you also have a talent. Like I also see a lot of myself in you too. It's like you just, I think it's just easy for you to make friends. You're just, I think, a sociable person and you're so engaging, you know. Look at that smile. How do you not attract, like, mosquitoes, flies attract light is the way your smile attracts the human beings, you know? It's like, oh, she looks like and I'm sure, I think that was also, well, smiling is part of a essential thing for human beings, right? Like the minute you smile, you're so friendly and you're cordial. People sense that, right? And I think that was you're a friendly being, so I think that
thank
was
you. I think I'm more of an introvert, and then an extroverted person just like picks me and goes like, "You'll be my friend," and I'm like, "Yay!"
So are you happy?
That's how all my friendships have worked, I think.
No, I mean that's how it should be, you know. Unless you're like, "Hey guys, you're all my friends."
That's
chaos will ensue. Caveat there. Are you half introvert and half extrovert? Is that what you were saying?
I feel like I am an introvert. Well,
wow.
It depends. I think it depends on the friend groups I hang out with, essentially. But yeah, or an ambivert, is that a thing?
Oh, sorry, a what?
An ambivert, which is like half introvert, half extrovert. I don't know. I feel like I'm an introverted introvert, but once I'm comfortable, I don't shut up.
Yeah, we're the same, you know. Taurus, Capricorn, Earth signs. If you believe in that horoscope, mumbo jumbo. Funny because we were talking about horoscopes and how, like, it could be skewed. I mean, it's pseudoscience, but the thing is that horoscopes are pretty complicated. So you go more in depth, and I think it kind of gives you sort of an insight of who you are. I know you shouldn't totally believe in it, but it's like it kind of just plays a role with a lot of people's lives, right? Especially when it's dealing with the whole astrology. But And what were we saying? Oh yeah, you were saying that you didn't believe in it.
I
changed your mind.
And you sort of changed my mind. I was just saying how it's difficult for me to believe that people who are born in this particular time period are all the same or have the same characteristics. But then you were talking about how it depends on your mood, right?
Oh, it's more com. Oh yeah, it's more complex.
More complex than it's more complex.
Because like there's sun signs, then there's like the moon sign. I guess more like you can be a Taurus, but you can also be a mix of a Capricorn personality and an Aquarius kind of thing, depending on the time you're born.
Mm, yeah.
What time were you born at?
11:57.
Ooh. Almost. Wow, it was almost the next day. You're 3 minutes too late.
Yeah.
For the next day.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how that would change my life, but I do like the 16th of May. I can't imagine being born on the 17th.
It makes me feel weird. Oh, you're number seven. Is that why you chose number 1 plus 6? May 16th, 1 plus 6 is 7?
Yeah, I just always liked the number 7 as a child. There was a story I read as a kid about a girl whose favorite number was 7, and she lived in flat number 7, and I was living in flat number 7 at that time. I was like, this is so relatable. This is my favorite number.
When you're saying flat number 7, well, so for the listeners listening, they say flat has an apartment.
Apartment,
so. So you're living in flat number 7 in the UK when you're doing your studies?
No. This was back in Oman when I was
back in Oman, right?
Yeah.
So you did 2 long distance relationships. So you not only traveled to do your studies. No, that's what I'm saying. You're amazing. You, I worship you. Yeah. Oh my God. I look up to you. I love traveling. I just didn't get the chance to properly travel. You got the chance to travel and take upon your education in these different places. So that, I think that's already marvelous in itself. And I mean, I got the chance to go around Europe. So that's already a blessing. I got that chance, right? And I got to meet you. So this whole Europe trip is spontaneous. Okay, so in a way, I'm a little loco because I do these things spontaneous. Because I'm like diddle daddle because I'm a very pragmatic person. And I was just thinking about, I just came out of college, and by the way, reading is so important because I read this article, and if I didn't read this article, I think I would have not gone to this Europe trip. And at the time, with my friend convincing me to like, come on, let's go, you could do it. I think so. I was just getting out of college. I was just about to, I had the money saved to pay off all my OSAP. And I was reading this, and this is the time where my friend's like, hey, we're going to go do this Europe trip. I know it's like a little spontaneous. At the time, how I was taking it, I thought it was a 1 month time. They're like, oh, we just came up with a plan. So I'm like, okay, cool. It's too soon and I don't have the money, I don't want to spend too much money on the trip. It depends how much it is. And it's so hard for me to give even though I was working part-time, giving away shifts or someone covering for you was the hardest. So I read this article and I gave it some thought. And now there was 2 weeks left before they were going to go to Spain, I believe.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this?
No.
No, oh my God, I didn't tell you this. Okay. Okay, so, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't think I can. It looks like a lovely trip. And I just, you know, I kind of felt sad. I'm like, oh man, it would be cool. And then I read this article saying, look, OSAP. So OSAP is basically the funding from the government when you're going to school. They support you. Okay. That's what OSAP is. Okay. Like an Ontario student loan.
Okay.
And this article was saying, do not worry about paying off your OSAP right then and there, especially all that whole sum that can be paid in increments. what you're really going to miss out in life is if you don't travel. So I'm actually in the car, if you didn't realize, and it's super windy. It's like 70 kilometers per hour. I feel like this car is going to fly off. So if there's any interruption, guys, that's good night for now. Or ta-ta. the car is like, it's battering. Anyway, I digress. So I read this article, and it was saying just go on a trip because it's a once in a lifetime. Because the older you get, it becomes a lot harder to travel, right? You know. And I was reading this article thoroughly, and I'm like, wow, is this a sign? This is like, wow. And it changed my mind. It literally changed my life, actually. This one article. It blows me away how small minutia of things like this could change an individual's life or myriads of people's lives. It's, you know, hence why I even embarked on this podcast. And so I read this article. You know, you could think this article, actually, I need to find who wrote this article. It's really hard because of this article, I got to meet up with you.
That wouldn't happen. Even after you started your Europe trip, I think England wasn't part of your itinerary.
Oh, no.
Super spontaneous.
It was super spontaneous because I was like, once I got to Amsterdam, so, okay, you know what? I'll fill these guys in. But when I ended up making the decision, these guys had 2 weeks left. When it came close to them leaving, I had 2 weeks left to catch up with them in Rome. In that time, in that week, so that 1 week, they were just about to leave. And this was around November, actually in the beginning of the November. And that's when I decided, you know what, guys, let me find out if I can get my shift away. And some kind of spirit force, something was telling me just everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be so good. Just go for it. So I called my workplace. I called some coworkers like, hey, can you guys cover me for at least 2 months? Can that be done? And I was appalled. Like, I was perplexed by the answers and just the overwhelming answers I was getting. It's like, yeah, sure. I'll cover you up for 2 months. Let's talk to the boss. The boss is like, yeah, let me find some people and I'll cover you up. And I'm like, what? By the way, getting one shift covered was the hardest. Like, getting one shift covered. I got 2 months worth of shifts covered.
So that's all meant to be.
Yeah, it was all meant to be. And maybe this story is another, maybe I'll fill you guys in another time about the whole story and my experience. But to keep it short, so I ended up meeting with these guys. So that was 2 weeks short notice, and I bought the ticket, and it ended up being like 330. And I got really, well, that's a one-way ticket to Rome, but I got really lucky. So I'm like, everything was just turning out great. I was just, this is unbelievable. I was just blown away. So hitting Rome, and I ended up going through 8 different countries. Yeah. And then when I hit Amsterdam, I think we were keeping in touch, right? Like, hey, what's going on? Like, what do you think? Yeah. And I think you were still like, oh, let me find out what's going on. And then when I hit Amsterdam, I told my friends, like, guys, you can leave without me, but this needs to happen. I have to meet my friend. I think I'm going to make it happen. I know it's so expensive, but I'm never going to get, or I don't think I'll have this chance again. Yeah. So I'm like, part of my French, fuck it, I'm going to go. And I told them, like, it's up to you guys. You guys can come with me or not, but I'm going to London. I know it's not in the itinerary, but I'm adding this to my repertoire of traveling, and I'm going to go meet up with my friend. And I think it's going to be a great story. Right. And so I ended up going to London, and for you, it worked out, even though those aggressive time hour that you're working in the UK.
Yes.
That's crazy. That also worked out.
Yeah, man, it worked out well. And we just explored London. It was great. It was one of my best staycations.
Yeah, I was just reflecting after we talked a couple of days ago. I was like, oh man, I realized when we met, we were like kids again. You know, we were like childhood besties, and it's like we just resumed from where we left off.
All giggles and monkeying around, just like
yeah,
free fall. Yeah.
And I think this is what a lot of people lack, is like letting their inner child come out. And it's brilliant to what you said. It's like you need to incorporate yourself or inject yourself in a group of people that you not blend in, but that you, you know, cohesively work together beautifully and just vibe off each other, right? And I think it's just, we just connect so well that we're just laughing, giggling the whole time, that I kind of felt sorry for the people I was traveling with. They're like, what are they giggling? A little jelly. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. I haven't seen it for 20 years.
Yes, we met after 20 years, didn't we? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, yeah. So
Kiki, it didn't feel like we were apart for 20 years. It just felt... like,
yeah, right?
Like we've known each other, yeah. And we didn't even keep in touch for these 20 years. We only got in touch more, like, maybe 2 or 3 years before we met.
I know I kept in touch with you when... I know you're going through your breakup, but yeah. In that breakup period...
That was 2 or 3 years before...
Wow, that's actually a long time. I'm just taking it in. My year calculator is just like spectrum's all over the place. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, so yeah, that's when we kept in touch. And then Priya, nothing, we
gotta Priya. We have to do... yes, we three need to get on Zoom and have an
yeah time. She's a doctor too, right?
Yes, she's a doctor back in UK, yeah.
I actually saw on the news when she was... Yeah. She was in the news doing the COVID-19 spiel or something. Yeah, I saw it. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think she was put into one of the COVID wards. And she caught COVID herself, if I remember right. But yeah,
Wow. Yeah, seriously. Jeez.
Amazing, yeah.
How's Australia doing, by the way? Like, I know, are you guys good there?
Still good. As in, we're still better than
fingers crossed.
And the UK, I guess, the rest of the Western world. But we went through a terrible lockdown. My state did. I think for about 6 weeks, we were only allowed to leave the house for 4 different things. And that too, you could only leave, like if you wanted to get groceries, you had to leave only in a 5-kilometer radius. Or if you had to work out outdoors, you're only allowed 1 hour. It was actually like prison. It was proper prison roof. I'm not joking.
Wow, that's...
But yeah, but then we all got to have really great Christmas and New Year's because... restrictions lifted. This was, I think, the strict lockdown was, if I remember right, sometime from August to about end of October, November-ish.
That's some strict curfew. I mean, that's what you guys are doing so well, though, right?
I think Melbourne had one of the strictest lockdowns, if I believe, if I'm correct. But yeah.
Yes.
If I'm correct, sorry.
Yeah. No. But, so wow, that's. That's crazy. So
yeah, but it has been useful actually, because now we can compare what's happened here with just like the UK where they have like 200, 300 cases a day. And from what my cousin who lives there was saying, their lockdown rules didn't even make sense. They had like pubs and restaurants all open till 10, and then after 10,
where?
You have to go home. Back in the UK.
Oh, wow. Just,
that doesn't make any sense. You're still going to spread it even if it's before 10. Yeah, so, yeah.
Economy, right? But, UK, you, to me, when I came to meet you up, UK was, at the time, the nightlife was so weird to me because I'm like, everything is so restrictive already, generally. Or do I have that wrong? Because remember when we met up to go clubbing and stuff or just the bars? There was a specific time that certain bars were open and closed. It was just odd.
Not a thing in Canada.
No. Here, it's
just, for me.
Oh, the bar's always open. The club night is always live. Like it, all the clubs are open and the nightlife here is pretty, quite amazing actually, if I do say so myself, depending on the clubs. But yeah, the bars are all open throughout the hours, till like 12, 2 o'clock. Sorry, 2 o'clock. The bars sort of close, I think. And then the nightclubs, they end up closing at 2 o'clock as well. Or 3 o'clock is like when you're out. Vamush. Thursday, Fridays, Saturdays, those are like peak times for clubbing. Which is it's always live. Like you going out in the city and people are just lining up at clubs. Even during winter time, girls just wearing skirts or dresses and legs. And to me, till this day, just blows me away. I'm like, how are you not cold? It's like snowing. Sorry?
The alcohol keeps us warm and keeps us true. Numb. We don't feel the pain from the heels and short skirts.
There's a limited time for it, though. The alcohol only gives you warm for a limited time. And then you're done. If you don't get inside here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. England, I think, it just depends. You have to make sure you get into the club before a specific time. But once you're in, you're in. I don't remember why we struggled that particular night. I know we had a spontaneous night out.
Well, I would say we
the randomest club.
I know we struggled. Yeah. Did we go to club together? When with my group of friends at the time.
Yeah, we did.
Oh yeah, we did. Oh
yeah, we went to a club called the Aquarium, if I remember right.
The Aquarium, yeah, it was just like
that's all it was. Oh,
German music, because I was in Berlin and I was hearing house music all throughout, but it's always the same. I don't know, to me, maybe I just sound naive here, but it's just. To me, it was just the same. And I'm like, wow. At one point in Berlin, I remember standing with some people in circles and I stood there and my head was down like this. And I think I was so exhausted. So I was sleep standing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was just like, I'm bored, but I'm also tired. I'm a little, man. But it's a good, I mean, it just shows the amount of good times we had and reflecting on these. It's just like, wow. And I think reflect, do you ever try to meditate or I know you write in your journal and that's sort of a reflection. And I've been, you know, awing her. So guys, Kiki's journal is amazing. I don't know how much you want to show to them, but it's beautiful. It's a work of art.
Maybe I can show the time, the journal entry I spent when
went to London. Together. Yeah. Yeah, so Kiki's journals are amazing. I am jelly. It's just so wonderful. Once again, guys, this is your opportunity. I am going to open, so while Kiki gets to get a chance to show her journals, this is the time I'm going to tell you guys to go onto my YouTube channel. For now, I'm going to post it on Randy Rand Candy. It's on the YouTube channel. I know, silly name, but you know. Just bear with me. All right. Bear with me. You can see the video podcast on the YouTube channel if you guys would like to. And you could see me and Kiki do this video podcast there. This would probably be the first video podcast. So yeah, go on to Randy Rand Candy, R-A-N-D-Y, R-A-N-C-A-N-D-Y, and you can see our video podcast.
Game over.